Hey everyone, it's Awkward Conversations once more. We are at BenCon still, because we love BenCon so much. And we are here again with...
Jeremy Owen from Burly Press.
Burly Press!
So tell us a little bit about your boyfriend.
What about your boyfriend?
What about Bob?
Yeah,
that's how everybody should start. Yeah. What about Bob?
Bob's awesome.
Okay, I can't do it anymore.
We can't go that far.
You know,
he wanted us to play a joke on you and just talk about him.
Like, nonstop. Like, so, when you first met Bob, how was it? No, we can't do that to you.
I love him. I have never laughed so hard in my life.
We can't do it to you for too long because we also think you are fabulous. And we know way too much about you, and we love it.
And I know we just met, but I feel like I've known you forever.
Right?
For years.
I know your love story. Right? It's epic.
I mean, it's one of the love stories they're going to...
I mean,
throughout time. For ages and
it's
ever.
It's inspiring us nerd girls to find a nerd guy. I mean.
Yeah, I lucked out.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he lucked out too.
No.
If Bob can do it, so can we.
We can do it. So let's talk about your projects. Burly Press, and I'm holding in my hand Bludgeon.
That's my comic.
Which looks epic.
It looks pretty awesome.
I mean,
it looks badass.
It looks pretty badass. Let me pass them down. So you want to tell us a little bit about your project?
Okay. Yeah.
Your comic book?
Oversharing barista. I hate oversharing barista. They're the worst. They're always named Mandy with an E and an E.
She's a little bitter.
Well, Bludgeon came about... actually, a while back when I was in college, all my friends and I had a superhero alter egos of ourselves. We had a super group called the Hooligans. And Bludgeon actually was my superhero. He started out as the superhero alter ego of myself, but over the years has evolved as I have evolved. And I was doing art again. I published a pinup book that just sold out called Burly. It was a bunch of... Beefy, burly bear guys, but in cute cheesecakey pinup stuff.
Wait, burly,
like lumber.
Like hot lumberjacks.
Hot lumberjacks.
Do you know this book?
I know.
Do you
this book.
Know
biblically?
This book?
Biblically. Well,
he knows
awesome.
It intimately.
Awesome.
In ways.
It's an awesome
that
book.
We will describe later.
And that started me warming up, and I really wanted to do a narrative comic, and I wanted to do a bear superhero, because at the time I didn't know of any that weren't like non-porn, bear comics, but at the same time I didn't want to be like Gerwolf Man fights Evil Twink, that kind of like over the top, on the nose gay stuff. So I kind of filtered it through my life a little bit because I was a late bloomer. It took me a while to figure out that I was gay. And then after that, it kind of like was the final piece of the puzzle and like had to filter that into who I was. And as opposed to filtering myself through that, like some people do at an earlier age when they find, the people that have always known, they've always known. That's part that helps shape them. For me, it was kind of like the final piece of who I was. And so Mike, the character in the book, he recently, his life kind of turned upside down. He was part of a super group that ended horribly. He also recently figured out that he was gay. Like, I'm placing it about 2 years before the comic starts. And so now he's old hat at being a superhero. What he's not. He doesn't know who he is personally, so he's on a quest to find his powers, like how he got his powers, because it's still a mystery to him. And he's also kind of figuring out who he is as a person, because he can match fists with the bad guys like anybody, like any superhero should. But what he doesn't know how to do is have a conversation with somebody at the bar. So I'm kind of approaching the character that way, trying to bridge the gap between superhero book and average Joe, kind of like counterculture.
That sounds
life
like,
and times.
Yeah, it sounds
like a delightful thing.
I know. Plus, I love the titles.
I mean, like this. I'm sorry. I'm just like giggling over so much about the oversharing barista. It's just
Bludgeon
so great
versus
to me.
The oversharing barista, and we got another epic title right here. Oh, epic. epic costumes, passing by. Bludgeon versus the Beast with too many hands. I hate when I'm fighting a beast with too many hands. Oh, it's just gross. Like, there's another one.
And it another sucks. One.
His name was Chris.
Oh, my God. Oh. Don't bring it there.
One of my creepy crawlies. I don't want to give away too much because the book just came out. Like, I just launched it, the number one issue here at BentCon.
Awesome.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of cryptozoology and like Native American myth and things like that. There's a creature in there that comes from like Aztec myth, and there he fights another bad guy of sorts. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, no because spoilers, you're gonna read it.
But yeah,
And you're gonna
buy it.
You're gonna buy it. You can definitely go to burleypress.com and check them out. But I love cryptozoology. I used to study cryptozoology and paranormal psychology. Except for I'm kind of empathetic, so it's hard to do that kind of stuff. I get too many like.
I hear you.
But it is so interesting to see all the different creatures that are in myths and stuff like that. I totally think we should go hunt down the Jersey Devil. I'm just saying.
Yes.
I think we should.
I think it needs to happen. Although there's all those film crew like movies where they go out there and then they get eaten and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be.
Don't want to be eaten.
No.
Well,
particularly.
My friends and I are big crypto fans. All that stuff, Bigfoot and Thunderbird and. My friend Greg, who's my editor and kind of story collaborator, he's going to be my co-writer as we hammer out the full story arc. He actually did a coloring book of cryptozoology.
Sounds right.
It's a Pudding Stone Institute, I can't remember the name, Greg. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you listen to this. I'm sorry that I don't remember the name.
I'm totally Googling it.
If you go to gregfreeland.com, that's his Tumblr, and you can find him on Facebook and find his store. I don't remember the address for his storefront, though. But
we'll find it out, and we'll blast it on our social networks.
We'll
and it's awesome. It's like a whole coloring book of, like, all sorts of stuff from all over the world.
Yeah, because it's kind of epic. My sister lives on the East Coast, and when I go out to visit her, Lake Champlain has a Loch Ness monster called Champ.
Champ.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm always like, well, let's just go look for Champ. Let's
go
do this. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's make it happen.
Let's drain the lake. Drain the lake. Drain we'll find
them.
It.
Let's make it happen.
What's your favorite crypto animal?
My favorite crypto animal actually is in the book. That's the first one that I've used.
Just have to find out.
for cryptid friends out there, it's the Ahwitzot. My native speaking friend told me that's how it's pronounced, but I was saying Ahwitzotl because that's how it's pronounced.
Oh yeah.
But I guess it's that's how it's spelled. Apparently, it's pronounced Ahwitzot.
But I've always pronounced it the way you said it.
So if anybody knows what that is, that's one
spoiler.
That's my favorite cryptid, hands down.
Awesome.
So,
yeah, I don't
what
know.
What about you, Stacey?
I don't know. I mean, I do think maybe it's just because I want to go to Scotland. I do want to see the Loch Ness Monster. Yeah. I do. I mean, I know it's kind of disproven at this point.
Doesn't matter. He's still real.
It's still really fun, the concept of it. I just think I just want to be in Scotland drinking and see a creature. And I mean, I do like local lore and stuff like that. So whenever I'm in a place, you know, I wanna see these ones. Like in Louisiana, there were some scary ones. There are some scary ones that I'm just like, I don't want to run into you, but I kind of do.
Yeah. I kind of do, but only if I can escape.
Yeah, only if I can run really, really far.
Yeah.
In fact, in their zoo, I can't remember what the one in Louisiana and New Orleans that they had in the zoo, they had a full, like, replica of their, like, swamp creature.
Oh, crazy.
And so you're, like, walking through all these, like, alligator, like, exhibits and stuff, and then there's this just big creature, and I'm just standing by it like, oh, yay. I'm so excited to be here. But nice. it's pretty epic. Also at their zoo, they have recipes next to each of their animals.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Classic.
Sure, why not?
Do you still study it, or are you still up on the...
On the cryptozoology stuff? It's more of a fun hobby. I'm not like, you know, a Squatch hunter or anything like that.
Not trying to find Bigfoot.
No. But it's a fun concept. Like, it's one of those things that I believe in it. Like, whether I believe that it's actual fact or whatever, but it's awesome to think that these things are alive and that they're out there, and I'm a big fan of like, there's no, you know, there's a possibility, right?
Right.
Like there's nothing saying that this doesn't exist. So, you know, I'm not saying that it does, but it could.
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
It's really egotistical of humans to think that there's nothing else besides us.
Yeah. I mean, anytime I have an argument with anybody like that, I say, okay, go back to 1700 with a flat screen television.
Yeah.
And they will burn you alive.
Yeah.
if you could just get it to work
phone.
With electricity
bring
somehow.
Your cell phone.
Yeah. And so just because we haven't, like, that's the way I'm with, like, ghosts and stuff, too. Just because we haven't proved it doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't exist.
I fully believe in ghosts because I've had experiences.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I went to a haunted high school. I fully believe in those.
I believe that to be a believer, you also have to be a skeptic. So I'm also down with the whole, you know, like, oh, that's just, magnetism or...
Right.
That's the
Absolutely.
Wind or whatever.
Those ghost hunter guys, they're like, we're the biggest skeptics you'll find, but we still go do this because something has to happen. People don't just hear these things or see these
right.
things
yeah.
for like no unexplainable reason.
And you never know when personal experience can be
right.
like explained away with gestalt psychology or anything like that. But like, I like to think that it exists.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. Yeah. I mean, I've had experiences with ghosts, so I do believe, but I don't believe everything. Like, you know, when people tell me this place is haunted, you know, I go in with I'm like, okay, sure, let's see. Hmm. You know, but
yeah. What about, do you believe in ghosties?
Oh, of course I do. I grew up with ghosts. I grew up with ghosts and all kinds of weird, crazy shit. And like,
it's because he was Mormon.
No.
Actually, that's different.
No, it comes from my mom's side. My mom... we have a knack for attracting things.
Yeah.
I fully believe in... Well, I guess I'm on the same boat where I can be skeptical. I have to be skeptical first before I can say, okay, I believe in that.
Yeah.
I need a certain amount of... I guess it's not really proof. Can't be really considered proof, but... I guess personal proof.
Yeah.
I need to feel that it exists.
I will fully admit this on the air to these two people right now for the first time ever. Sometimes I'll be sleeping in my bed, and yes, sometimes my little dog sleeps with me, but the nights where she doesn't sleep with me and my other dog's not on the bed, I feel something crawling on the bed. It freaks the shit out of me.
Oh, of course it does.
I turn over, I'm like, you're not there, but I totally just felt your presence, and it's not like a hard, horrible presence. It's just like a... hey, I'm hanging out on your bed.
Yeah,
kind of present.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I've had lots of creepy.
It's like a ghost cat or
something.
We could
do a whole episode on creepy ghost experience.
That
here.
Would be fun.
It would be fun. It is always fun to talk about the paranormal.
Paranorman.
So was
which was an epic movie. Did you see Paranorman?
Not yet. I really want to. I loved Coraline. So.
Do you love horror movies?
Yes, of course. Okay. I love horror movies.
Well, you know, some people aren't into
and
horror
movies. And the special surprise twist was ruined for like everyone.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, if you read, don't read. Did you read the?
Don't read anything about it.
I haven't read
it.
Anything about it.
Okay. Don't read about it.
Yeah.
Great, because no spoiling here. But yeah,
it has a pretty epic character with a twist.
And people were like, it got ruined, like. 2 weeks, like a week after the movie was released. I was like,
well, only because people were so proud of the character.
Yeah, and I was like, that's dumb. So, is Burly Press your deal alone?
Yeah.
Or is it
I self-publish. In fact, the comics right now are handmade. I print them out, and I have a paper guillotine, so I trim them down to size.
Wow.
Which is a little labor intensive, but when you're broke and just starting your business,
we know about that.
Yeah.
And it started out as something that I did Burly because I wanted to do something that could, you know, maybe get me a little grocery money because I was unemployed for God knows how long. But then I wanted to do the comic, and now it's something that I really enjoy and I want to continue, and I see a lot of possibility with it. And hopefully in the future I can actually start getting print runs made, but in the meantime, I feel really proud about the product that I put out. So
I mean, I really like
that's
your art. Like, I've noticed your artwork over at your table. Yeah. It's really, I mean, really beautiful. It's really
thank you.
Stunning. Yeah. I was like, oh, like
look at this power couple over here.
I mean, look at that. That guy makes the waffles. He does the art.
They're going to take over the world.
How much do you get cooked for? Does he cook for you, like, all the time?
Well, I mean, when I visit, yes.
Yeah, I know you guys.
Because I still live in Oregon.
Yeah.
Are you living in
which
Portland?
Is a foodie town.
No, not Portland. I'm living in Depot Bay, which is Central Coast.
Oh.
So it's not too far from Portland, but it's a jaunt. It's like 2.5 hours.
Is that
so it's
near,
not like
Astoria? Or is it down south?
It's mid, like almost directly smack dab in the middle of the coast.
Oh, okay.
So
I lived there for
it's
like
just
very
north,
beautiful.
North of Newport, south of Lincoln City.
Okay. So. I went to like culinary school up there, so I'm semi familiar with like Oregon. So.
Okay.
I was like, oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. I mean, I keep hearing about all these. Well, I watch the Food Network a lot, and I keep on hearing all of these amazing places in Oregon, like to eat. And I'm like, I want to go.
Portland is
like
full of amazing
like,
food.
It's just
oh
right.
My
like
God.
Such amazement.
And I'm not even donuts. Just talking about Voodoo Donuts. I'm talking
yeah,
about
that's
all sorts
exactly
of
where
stuff.
I want to go.
I went
man.
To I went to a vegan restaurant there with my friend Ryan, and they had like a tempeh chicken fried steak with this gravy made out of almonds, and it was one of the most amazing things I've ever eaten.
They have this place in Oregon.
And are you vegan?
No. I'm pescatarian.
Okay.
So I only eat seafood.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, super hardcore about it. Like, if I'm at a party and there were no arrangements made, and I'm hungry, I'll eat the pepperoni pizza, but I don't make a habit of it. I make a habit of just eating seafood and
there's a place in like downtown Portland called and it's kind of chain like so people like don't really like it called Veganopolis, and they made this portobello mushroom steak burger thing. Oh. It was like a roasted red pepper spread and like roasted eggplant and the portobello it was so good.
Here's the thing about vegan restaurants is they don't have to spend a lot of time like with meat preparation, and because they have to use alternative proteins and they have to use different spices, it's almost always gourmet because they just have to, you have to be smart when eating vegan.
Yeah,
so you have
to
like really, really infuse with a lot of flavor, and it's always really, really, really good. Every vegan restaurant I've ever been to has just
like,
blown me away.
Some wow. of the best Indian food I've ever had was in like Oregon, and Vietnamese food, like every like a stone throw was like a Vietnamese or a Thai restaurant or something Asian
yeah.
that I was like, oh, fa every
now I'm
day.
Getting hungry.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know.
Should we ask him our awkward questions?
Oh yeah.
Should we get
all
awkward and up?
Yeah.
In
hence the namesake.
Yeah.
Hence the namesake. Who wants to go first?
I could go first.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Sex with Aquaman or death by firing squad?
Ooh, if it can be the Aquaman with the beard and the trident on the hand,
like
then yes.
Like this Aquaman looking person,
yeah.
the burly Aquaman.
What if
big,
it was the
burly, hairy-chested, bearded Aquaman, yes.
What if it wasn't? What if it was...
If it was the, like, pretty boy Aquaman or death by firing squad? Well, I mean, even bad sex is like pizza, you know. You still had pizza even if it was bad pizza.
True.
So
it's very true.
Plus you haven't had death.
Yeah, and
so
you're not
that's
dead.
The whole thing.
So
yeah.
I mean, you're not getting shot up by a fire.
Which
yeah.
you know, doesn't sound as pleasant as maybe fish sex. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. See, that's the thing.
Yeah, that would have to be a caveat is shut your mouth and don't call any of those damn fish over
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
We've had this discussion before like
don't
what superhero you would sleep with and not want to sleep with, and it was kind of unanimous that maybe Aquaman would not be the best because just of the fishy smell and the whole, you might accidentally call the fish.
Yeah.
It's just
and you guys
thing.
Put like Hulk on there, which is not not on the bottom of my list.
Hulk, having sex with Hulk would be like a firing squad, I think. I think you'd
right.
just
thank
die.
You. Thank you.
Firing squad. Okay, I want to have sex with a Hulk and I want to do it. Just
we'll
get over
it.
Well, I hope you have good medical insurance.
Seriously.
I have okay medical insurance.
Have you read that book about like Superman having sex? I can never remember the name of it. But there's a book out and it's all the practical things about Superman and about like the mechanics of someone who's super strong and invincible having sex with you, that he would just basically just tear you in half.
Well, here's my thing. Now when
or shoot his load through your skull, basically.
When he's Clark Kent, do you think like he like
nerfs himself,
turns it down. He's like, okay, I can't, like, when he's sleeping with like
no.
Lois.
Actually, yeah, but when you're in the throes of an orgasm, like how much think, self-control like, do you actually have?
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. I don't want to get all geeky for a second, but being an alien, he does have an advanced central nervous system, so he does have advanced control of his body and his motor function. So he can, that's Superman's problem. Not that he isn't harder on villains because of his strength, but he has to tone it down or else he would split the earth in half. That's how strong he is.
That's
so
but
when he's Clark
he
Kent,
tone
he
it
goes
down.
He tones it down even more. Yeah.
But could he tone it down during a
An orgasm?
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I think he could tone it down, but
can you tone it down during sex? Come on now.
But the speed and strength that his cum is shooting out, I don't think he can. I don't think he can rewrite physics for his cum.
Like just like is
right
the flash,
yes.
Like
right
the flash would like create a fire in your nether regions. He's so I don't know, but would it be toned down when he's buried? Like would it be
maybe?
But
be
I
like,
see.
Whoa.
See,
but
I don't
so,
think it's like, it's not like morphing. It's not like.
I just think he would be able to, like, control the level and be like, okay, I've got to, like...
But then that's just bad sex. If you can control everything about you,
no,
you're having really
no,
bad
sex. I can
sex.
Be, like, intense, but not, like, so intense that, like, I make the person I'm having sex with, like, combust.
You might die.
Yeah.
You just might die.
You don't want to kill your
but
partner.
But he would fuck you,
oh,
like, 500
no
times
no
in, like, 2 seconds before you died. So.
That book is called Man of Steel, Woman of Paper, I think. That's what it's called. Or something like that. Man of Steel,
I
Woman
am
of Tissue,
this up.
Or something
Man
like that.
Man of Steel, Woman
We're
of
not
paper.
Googling it right now. Don't worry about
if only
it.
We had a device that could fit in the palm of our hands that has access to the sum total of human knowledge.
Right?
We do.
Oh,
Man of
Lord
Steel. Man. All right.
Woman of Kleenex.
Woman of Kleenex. There you go.
Oh my gosh.
An exceedingly amusing yeah. story.
Also
by
talks about
Larry.
If she got pregnant, like how the baby would just like kick through your stomach.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, didn't
Ow.
She? I thought she did
Doesn't
get pregnant.
My baby's
by.
Kicking. Yeah. Oh my God, my belly.
Isn't yeah. pregnancy and a birth hard enough? Do we have to have zombies?
Some feminists say you're parasitically oppressed if you're pregnant.
Parasitically. Good
let's,
birth.
Let's
That's adorable.
Washel, ask your question.
Oh, my question? Which question should I ask?
I don't know. Which question should you ask? Got it.
Okay. Anthony Michael Hall from the 80s? Or Anthony Michael Hall present?
Hmm.
It's an open-ended question, so you can take that to mean whatever you want it to mean.
Well, either way, he's not exactly my type. But
I forgot who I'm talking to. I'm sorry. he's gotten a little muscly in the past few years.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's aged extremely poorly.
Yeah, he hasn't quite bared out.
You know what? You know what? I think I'll go for. I think I'd go for the 80s.
80s
Anthony Michael
just,
Hall.
Just because. I don't know, the innocence, maybe. I don't know. Now he looks kind of, I mean, he doesn't look bad, but he doesn't look good either.
Well, like, I saw a picture of him.
Sorry, Anthony Michael Hall,
oh.
if you're listening to this.
I was
you
like, oh, you look
good.
Super cool. and then I saw him in, like an EW spread, and he was, like, no
he
neck. And I was like, why don't you have a neck, Anthony Michael Hall? Like, what happened to your neck? Like, what's going on? And I was
he
just like,
it
freaked me out. It just
he was on that episode of Community.
Yeah.
Where he was like the bully.
Like the bully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that show.
We interviewed the guy that plays Inspector Spacetime today.
Yeah. It was
I
epic.
Freaked. I was like.
He's here?
Yeah, he is.
That guy.
He's meandering around. He's got a web series out. Based on the web series on Community. So
yeah, I was like,
it's pretty epic.
That,
yeah.
I was like, I like your show.
Yeah.
You're that guy.
We were talking Who with him, and we were talking Torchwood and Who, so it was pretty
yeah,
epic.
Yeah, it was pretty
nice.
Great.
Yeah.
He was like, I was like, I like your shirt from, like, Community, like, the Doctor Who thing. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm Inspector Spacetime.
We're
and
like,
I'm like,
uh-huh.
Shut up, Ray. He's like, no, I am. Here's my postcard.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
now I have to track him down and like shake his hand.
Yeah, because his web series is called Untitled Web Series about a space
yeah,
traveler
Sony
who can also travel through
have.
Time.
Sony wouldn't let him have Inspector Space Time. So.
That's also
pretty epic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I heard you're kind of sci-fi nerd.
Yes, I'm a big nerd. Sci-fi, horror.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So okay, so we heard Bob's first impressions of when he first met you. Let's hear your impressions of when you first
And then I'll ask you my awkward question.
When you first saw him.
When I first met Bob?
Yeah, when you first locked eyes with that hunk of man that you call yours.
Well, we both met, like I knew about him because he was doing stand-up comedy for a while. Mm-hmm. So I knew of Babalu, and then I went out to L.A. to do a movie, went out to here to do a movie called Pornography, a Thriller, which is like a gay kind of Lynchian, Cronenbergian, mindfucky kind of movie, and which it's really awesome. Go see it. Find the DVD. But I stayed at his place for a couple of weeks while we were filming that, and I really thought he was cool. He was a really cool guy, a really fun, funny guy, and cute. But like, we were both with other people at the time, so
ain't that the way?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, so it wasn't like a spark because we were both involved. But yeah, like a few years later, when we were both single and we were just kind of like chatting online, and he kind of told me, "I have my eye on you, mister." I'm like, "Well, maybe kind of likewise then."
Maybe-ish.
Maybe I like you too.
Yeah. Check yes or no.
Perfect response. Yeah.
Yes. So maybe.
Awesome.
And then he eventually came out to visit me, and the rest is history. Yeah. When I was living in Albuquerque.
We've decided you're a power couple, and you guys are adorable.
Yeah.
And we love you.
Well, thank you.
So I'll ask my awkward question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Which one should I go? Well, you're a horror fan.
Yes.
So we can do the horror question. What horror, like, villain would you like to be murdered by?
Who would I like to be murdered by?
Yeah, like, you have to pick one, you know, heavy, like, really?
Yeah, Leatherface.
Really?
That's hands down.
Brutal.
Really? Yeah.
Really?
Well, if you're going to go well.
Is it because he's a bear?
He likes it rough.
You know, I'm surprised. Most people have said they would want to be killed by Freddy because then they could die in their sleep.
Yeah.
But you're not dying in your sleep. You're running and
you're
being tortured.
You're dying horrifically in your sleep.
And here's the thing. Like, Leatherface would brutalize you, but he wouldn't torture you first. Like, he's down to business.
Yeah.
He's down to business. He's there. The only reason they're running away from him is because he's kind of slow and he isn't that coordinated, right? Yeah. He's not there to play with you. He's there to kill you and turn you into chili. So...
That's true.
I Texas Chainsaw is my favorite movie, hands down ever.
Oh, tell
tell Leatherface.
My experience.
Tell him about Jennifer.
What?
Jennifer.
I mean, Jessica Biel.
Jessica, sorry, Jennifer.
Oh, she's just my girl crush. Oh. Every time I see her running in Texas Chainsaw,
I've never seen.
I turn lesbian for a second.
Like, I don't like, watch those kinds straight? Of movies. They made me. They said, sit down. We're going to watch the remake of Texas Chainsaw. And I was like, whatever.
We decided to put it in 3D.
She was really into it.
I was
actually.
Like,
nice.
And then I was like, what's happening? What's going on?
She wouldn't leave. So it's like, see, you're not that scared. So. Yeah.
And they're like, do you want to see the ending? Or like, I was like, just tell me like if anything gross happens when to cover my eyes.
So there are some gross parts I have to close
my eyes.
And
then he's like, okay, cover your eyes. And I was like looking through, like doing that thing.
Looking through the eye, through your fingers.
Yeah. Your eyes.
So Texas Chainsaw is your favorite of all time?
Yes.
Heavy hitter.
Yeah, I love that movie, and I actually had the good fortune of working with Gunnar Hansen, the guy who played Leatherface, on a movie a few years back called Gimme Skelter.
Gimme Skelter.
Yeah.
Is that related to Manson at all?
Yes, there is a Manson theme in the movie. I don't want to say a lot, but it's kind of about this little group of killers that are taking, kind of going through a small town in New Mexico, kind of killing almost door to door, but it's organized kind of, some people called it the Magnolia of horror films, of slasher films, because you get a lot of the townspeople in little vignettes that kind of pop up to give them character and stuff, you know, before they get brutally murdered. So,
is he like one of the nicest people ever?
Gunnar Hansen?
Yeah.
He's really cool.
Yeah,
he fit in.
He's
a sick fuck like the rest of us. Like he just fit in perfectly.
I had a friend who's met Robert Englund before,
at one of those
horror con like you sign autograph things, and he was like the guy was like so nice it was a little off putting. He was like I wasn't so prepared for, like how nice of a guy he was, and it disturbed me even more because I was like, you're too nice. Stop it.
How do you feel about remakes?
Remakes? Depends on the remake,
like,
really.
How do you feel about the whole, you know, Texas Chainsaw relaunching?
See, that's a sore spot for me. Not that I... Okay, the movie I thought I thought the remake of Texas Chainsaw was a good production. Like, mm-hmm. it was... But the entire time I was watching it, I just kind of wanted to watch the original. And then what they did to Leatherface, the character, I did not agree with. If you watch the original Leatherface is... I mean, he's a full fleshed out character. He's... If you pay attention, he's got different outfits for different personalities and different jobs. Like, when he's in the kitchen, he's wearing a little old grandma outfit when he's preparing food. And when he's out, you know, killing, he's in his butcher outfit. And then, like, at dinner, he's got like, the nice blazer, and he put on lipstick, and, like, you know, he has the nice perm wig. And which I think part of that informs at the end when he gets so angry when she leaves is... Because he cut his favorite suit. Like, he ruined his favorite pair of pants, probably. Like, I don't know if that was intentional, but that's what I got out of it. But then in the remake, when they made him, like, all deformed and everything, I was like, well, I guess that's an idea, but I don't like it as much.
Yeah, I think we all have our favorite, like, one that, like, I had seen a lot of horror movies as a kid. My mom is a huge horror movie fanatic, so I saw them probably way too young, but I think the one that you remember is the one that first scared you, like just on an unnatural level. And it was, to me, Nightmare on Elm Street, because I have issues with sleep and dreams and stuff like that. So when you see that your favorite is remade, mm-hmm. it's different. Like when Halloween was remade by Rob Zombie, I had no problem. I like Rob Zombie.
Yeah, I actually kind of liked
going back.
Yeah, because and a lot of horror fans hate me for saying this, but I think the original Halloween, I mean, yes, it's awesome. It's the original. It's awesome. But there's a lot of ideas in that that didn't go anywhere. Like, if you, in the first Halloween, Michael Myers, he was there to scare you. He set up that when he killed a body, he set it in a place to be discovered and scare somebody. And then also when he pins that guy to the wall with the knife, and he looks at him and just kind of tilts his head a little bit, like he's admiring, like he's working
That's
on a piece
one
of art,
yeah.
You know,
ever.
But they didn't go anywhere with that. And so when I saw the remake, I'm like, yes, I understand the problems that people had with the remake,
right.
But I loved it. I thought, did we need to know every single thing about Michael Myers? Probably no.
That's his argument.
But I did enjoy what they did with it.
See,
so.
I don't mind. My friend is really obsessed with the Halloween series, and I get it. When it happened, we had these huge fights, and I was like, well, I like what Rob Zombie's doing. I want to know why a child would kill. I do. I want to. That's maybe just the whole bookworm of me. And then he was saying, you know, like, no, they're ruining my childhood, blah, blah, blah. And then Nightmare on Elm Street's remake trailer came out. And I had, like, heart palpitations, and I teared up. I was so upset. It was really unnaturally sad how upset I got. And I walked up to him, and I said, I'm sorry. I still like the Halloween remake, but I understand you're upset. I get it. I'm sorry. I get it.
Yeah.
But I also think it's different. Like, wanting to know why a child murders versus sympathizing with a pedophile, to me,
yeah,
I don't think that's okay. Different. That's what kind of bugs me.
Yeah,
it was.
They did kind of make you sympathetic of Freddy in that a little bit.
Him like kind of a sissy and not as cocky and and you almost for a second were like, maybe you're not that bad. I am so sorry that you're going through this.
And I mean, I love Jackie Earle Haley. I actually think he did a great job with the character for what was written,
but I had
objections with what was written.
Yeah.
And the thing about like the original Nightmare on Elm Street movies is that he's making fun of it. Like, he knows it's campy. Like, he jokes about it. He's on another joke. And like the stuff I've seen in the remake,
they tried to make it straightforward.
Stop taking yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
What I am excited for, though, is the new Evil Dead.
I know.
Holy crap! Does that look
amazing? I can't say anything because I haven't. The original's in my Netflix queue right now, and they're telling me since I don't like horror movies, I shouldn't see the new one. But
you should see the old one. I have it on good authority that you should not see the new one.
Yeah, the new one
looks at all.
I mean, if you just
it's brutal.
If you just watch the Red Band trailer they have up online right now, it is. But
no,
so screwed up.
I have a funny little story about that.
I mean, like, I've seen the trailer.
No, honey. It's going to be so bad.
I have a
bad.
Little story about that.
Just
I was
go
at,
see Cabin in the Woods.
I was at the hospital a few days ago. A few weeks ago, my dad was getting an exam. And I was sitting alone, and this guy walks in and starts picking at a pimple on his finger next to me. He sits down and just starts picking at it. So I pulled out my computer, and I looked up the Red Band trailer for Evil Dead. And as soon as it gets to the first bit of gore, he walks away.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be...
Self-defense.
It's going to be really bad. I mean, it's going to be really bloody. I mean...
I'm
yeah,
excited.
I mean, so I want to tell you some of the scenes that are just going to make you cringe, and I will tell you them, but it's going to be bad. It's going to be really, really bad.
This.
No, I mean, no, like...
It won't be enough.
It won't be enough. I'm serious. They're taking this shit to another level, and I'm not mad at them for it, because you can't capture that camp of that time period very accurately, except for with Cabin in the Woods. They did capture camp. They did make fun of themselves.
And I have friends that hate horror films because they don't, like... Because they don't make a lot of sense sometimes. Like, why the hell would you split up?
Right.
Why the hell would you go outside? But they love Cabin in the Woods because they gave reasons for it with like the mind control drugs and and like the locking doors and
I mean, it just makes sense. And even in their dialogue, they're like, why the hell are we doing this? We are very intelligent people. Why the hell would we do any of the things that we're doing right now? And I think that's really important to point out that they knew their genre.
Yeah, that's why I liked the Scream series, because they also fell into those same tropes, but they fell into them because of things they did.
Yeah.
Like when Sydney first encounters Ghostface,
he has a Scream
talking
boner,
about
by
yeah,
the
way. Talking about how the girl should be walking out the door instead of going up the stairs, but then when she walks back in and locks her door. Later on, she tries to leave, and she can't because she locked the door.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have time.
Yeah.
Speaking of horror, that's the theme of my next pinup book.
Nice.
It's going to be all horror hot themed. So
nice.
Big burly dudes and horror stuff.
I'm
Here's my question. It has nothing to do with what we've been talking about. It's just curiosity. Do you call him Babalu, or do you call him Bob?
Well, I guess it depends on how fast I want to call him.
Like, are you, like, when you're mad at him, do you go, Babalu?
Well, I haven't gotten mad at him yet, but I probably will. Babalu!
Right.
Babalu, you get over here right now.
Yeah. But yeah, I call him Bob, I call him Babalu.
It's just something I would like if I had somebody that had, like, a name like that, or went by a name like that, I would just be calling them by that
Babalu.
Name all the time. I'd be like, Babalu! I'd say, like, Ricky. like, Babalu!
Just do this. One day he Babalu. Comes over your house, and you're just like, Babalu!
Thing.
Right?
Bongo, bong, bong, bong,
Lucy,
bong.
You've got some splendid. Come on, I love it. Little play in the bedroom, Babalu. No, I'm just kidding.
A little play in the... She's giving you kink faster.
I'm giving
her
you. Well,
no
Rachel getting kinky with it. Also, just like Dexter play that is totally going to be a thing now. That we've decided.
I'm not going to wear that Dexter shirt and tell someone.
Dude, wouldn't it be more
things?
Fun if the other guy was wearing the Dexter shirt and you're like out on the table? Because I'm totally imagining that it would be really hot if a guy, I just come home one day and he's just like, we're doing Dexter play today. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, what did I do? Who
I
did
left,
I kill?
I left the blood splatter mask on the table.
Yeah.
Put it on.
I'm like, who did I kill?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been a bad girl. Like, I think it would be helping. I like it. I may be a weird person, though.
Okay. Well, before we leave, do you have any, besides these two things, do you have any place people can follow you or?
Not on the street.
Yeah.
Talking.
Yeah. You can find me all over the internet. So burleypress.com, there's all the links there, but there's @burleypress on Twitter. There's burleypress.tumblr.com, facebook.com/burleypress.
And you're an actor as well?
Yes.
So do you have an actor page?
JeremyOwen.info.
Awesome.
That's got my reel and my voice reel.
Sweet.
And some
Sweet.
Pictures.
Can they Bam. Follow you on the Facebook, Burley Press?
Burley
on
Press
on
Facebook.
Sorry.
And, Spaced you know, Jeremy Owen.
Okay.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Well, thank you for having us.
So let's get back to the booth in the con, and we'll see you around. if you're available tomorrow at like 5 and you're like, whatever, I'm done for the day, we have a panel going on about nerd dating.
And we'd love to pick your brain about nerd dating. So, since you're doing it right.
So yeah, you know, maybe we'd be like, hey,
come on down.
Success story. So yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, that is the end of our interview with Sa.
Awesome.
Stay tuned. We will be talking more.